14-3 and the 2 seed in a home playoff game coming up next week. It'll be the first playoff game in Foxborough in 6 years. 38-10, the final score. Drake May finishing touches on his MVP case. A perfect second.
Time now for the Six Rings postgame show, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
One of the most miraculous, stupendous, unbelievable turnarounds in NFL history is complete. Your New England Patriots went from 4-13 in back-to-back seasons and today completed a regular season at 14-3, better than any analyst, prognosticator, media member, or former player in this town, region, country, and world could have ever possibly imagined. The squishing of the fish, that was fait accompli from the beginning. Sure, the game began, it was a runaway, then the Patriots kind of effed around a little bit, but ultimately, Miami, thanks to a rookie quarterback, not starting much of a professional team and such, found out. Your final score as the Patriots clobbered the Dolphins, 38-10, and it didn't even really feel that close in the second half, puts a beautiful cap on a spectacular season. Once again, 14-3. Yes, the Patriots will be in the playoffs. Yes, we are on to postseason. And yes, it is more than likely that these Patriots will be next weekend hosting the very same team that helped keep them out of the one seed and getting the much-needed playoff bye weekend, the Los Angeles Chargers, who probably would have had a hard time beating Framingham High School today with the team that they brought out there. But that's okay. This isn't about them. They'll get theirs next weekend. Today, it's all about what a spectacular season these New England Patriots had, giving them their coach, their staff, their quarterback, and their running backs, who Andy Hart and I have been all over the last couple of weeks, their flowers and their due. Of course, everyone, it seemed like, was getting incentives the same way people used to get cars on Oprah Winfrey's show at the end of the game. And they all deserve it, quite frankly. 38-10, your final. Welcome to the Six Rings postgame show, everybody. Whether you're in your car on the way home from the Razor, sticking around for a couple of glizzies and suds as the traffic fills out, at home, at the pub, wherever you happen to be, your old pals Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart are thrilled to be with you from now until 9 o'clock, at which point we will pick up Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football, your first playoff game, might I add, as the Ravens of Baltimore travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Yinsburg Stillers. Should be a fun one, and so will this postgame show. We'll take Drake May and Mike Vrabel live from the podium at Gillette Stadium as they pop up here on the show. Of course, you're not going to want to miss Andy Hart's Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, brought to you by our friends at Cars for Kids. And, of course, the postgame show here is brought to you by McFarlane Energy. Andy, what'd you think of today, man? Or do you want to just go broad view, forget about the game, and just remark on what a spectacular, truly remarkable, if not unbelievable season this has been?
Yeah, you played a JV team today, so the 38-10 win, great. I love giving credit to a team for doing what it's supposed to do, but 14 freaking wins, and you said it right. I don't know anyone, fan, Magic 8-Ball, anyone or anything that in any way even jokingly said this team was going to win 14 games. So I think you have to start there. You said it. One of the most miraculous one-season turnarounds in the history of all football, all levels, anywhere you want to go. Go find me a high school, go find me a college. That's what Mike Vrabel and Drake May did. And then the subtext of that is, as they head into the postseason, I think their best player might be Ramondre Stevenson, and that's another feather in Mike Vrabel's cap. Because we got sick of hearing him say, we're going to need everyone, right? We're going to need Andy Borogalis, even though he's missing PATs. We're going to need Ramondre Stevenson, even though he's fumbling the ball away ad nauseum.
WEEI, Boston Sports.
Yeah, that guy knows it, yeah, too. You're going to need Ramondre Stevenson, and Vrabel was right. He stuck with those guys. One guy hit the third longest field goal in the history of the organization today. And the other guy, Ramondre Stevenson, I do believe, as the manager of the Boston Red Sox would say, I do believe Ramondre Stevenson might be your best player over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
You do believe? He absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And by the way, shout out and salute to, not to strain an already injured shoulder, but I want to give it up to the Six Rings postgame show, who several weeks ago started saying, we were predicting in text back and forth before the postgame show, I think Ramondre is going to have a day. Ramondre is going to be a thing. Yep. We have been on the Mondre train. The Ramonster is now legitimately a force to be dealt with, Andy.
And then to prove it, I can show you my gambling receipts, because I've been riding the train of touchdowns and yardage for a couple weeks now.
It all roads always lead back to your $2 parlays.
Yep. Although, flip side of that is, just so everybody knows, I chickened out and I took the cash out on the Drake May MVP, because you had the other guy, Stafford, with 4 more touchdowns today. He's got the career achievement. He's going to win it, but who cares? I don't care if Drake May's the MVP, because he might be playing in the Super Bowl, because the Chargers... Yeah, no. Not worried about them. See you in round two.
Yeah, the last thing I'm concerned with right now is the Los Angeles Chargers coming to town next week, even if Justin Herbert is healthy enough-ish with his busted-up left hand to give the Pats a game, even if Ladd McConkey discovers his Rookie of the Year form, even with, well, their running back tandem is pretty interesting with Kamani Vidal and especially a healthy Omarion Hampton. But then again...
I'll take Henderson and Stevenson.
But I was going to say,
the Sons of victory.
Ours are pretty good, too. Again, JV team today, but Ramondre, let's just admire, again, it's like everything Patriots this year. Fool's gold, middle of the mall. Okay, you played a crap-ass team today. I get it. The fish were done. I will give them their flowers, though, because it was 14-0. They didn't quit and walk out the door. But
Early on, they fought. Early on, I mean, I was actually a little disappointed in the defensive effort early on, because I thought Quinn Ewers and company were kind of marching up and down the field on you, and if it hadn't been for that fourth down play, the incompletion in the end zone, you might have been in an early dogfight.
Or how about the fact that early in the third quarter as well, Jaylen Hawkins, who, even if the ball is thrown directly to him as if he's the receiver, still made a play. I mean, like, he had an opportunity to make a play. Jaylen Hawkins has a nose for the ball and makes big plays. That one right there, his interception in the end zone, Quinn Ewers giving you one. You only can work with the plays or the balls that are errantly thrown your way. Yep. The turnaround touchdown drive there, that pretty much sealed the deal. So between Ramondre, Henderson, and May, you were looking at 225 rushing yards today, which is just absolutely tremendous. You give up 10 points on the whole. Yes, Miami did move the ball a little bit at times and made it interesting in the second quarter and early on in the third. I did really, I'll tell you another big takeaway today, as you start looking for the things that we're going to have to focus on for the postseason, Andy. Borregales nailing an ice-cold 59-yarder to end the half after he'd had one blocked, which led to Miami going down the field and getting a field goal of their own. That was kind of a nails moment that inspired a little bit of confidence, a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. The block, that's 2 weeks in a row you've had a block. You know, that's not necessarily on him as much as it is the field goal protection. And that was a concern there. Greg Olsen was talking about it. You're going to try a career-long field goal. Oh, is it going to be too low? Is it going to get blocked again? Nope. He nailed it. And Borregales is absolutely high on my confidence list.
All right. Mike Vrabel is at the podium at Gillette. All right. That was Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. No time for celebrating. No time for basking in the accomplishments or the glories of his team on their 14-3 season. Andy, this man sounds like he is doubling down on his focus. He is ready to start doing some single elimination postseason business. I love Mike Vrabel when he gives those little answers like, well, what does this mean? It means we get to play the Chargers next weekend.
Right.
Not like, oh, what does it mean? It means we set a record. One of the greatest turnarounds in history. I'm so proud of us. And they're like, nope. I've done this before. We got real business football coming up.
Yep. Parcellian. He talked about being in the tournament. The only wins that matter are the ones we're going to try to get in the tournament, and you mentioned it, all it means is we're the second seed and we host the Chargers. Even the description of the week, well, we'll get ready, we'll prepare, we'll see what the plan is, we'll see what we need to do, and same thing we've been doing all year, we'll go play. And he's right? Like, we make a big deal about it. It's another football game. Like, the week is the same, right? It ends on this Sunday, you get your preparation, your game plan, you practice on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and you play, and it that's why they are such creatures of habit, and they stick to those schedules so tightly, because for them, even though it is the biggest game of the season, and it is win or go home and go on vacation, whatever, it is just the same week over. Mimeograph it, the old mimeograph in your elementary school, right? Mimeograph it, and hopefully it's a victory.
Yeah, and for anyone out there that still wants to try to play the middle of the mall fool's gold product of the schedule routine, Patriots earned this. Okay, this was not some candy ass back in Carolina Panthers style, where you lose your final two games of the regular season with an impish offense at best. And then thanks to an Atlanta Falcons team that, quite frankly, I think we'd all rather see in the postseason at this point, back your way into the playoffs. No, no, no. The Patriots won 14 games, did not get blown out in a single one, and ultimately took advantage of the bad football that came their way, which Mike Vrabel promised us all the way back in January they were going to do if they could be good enough, and they damn well were. And now, the way they look today, JV Dolphins are not. I'm going to give them a fighting chance, a puncher's chance against any team this postseason.
Yeah, there's no team I don't think they can beat. They've earned this. Are you going to tell me no other teams had bad, easy schedules over the course of the history of the National Football League over the last 100 and whatever years? Of course they did. How many of those won 14 games? Not many. Not many at all, because 14-win seasons, I know they're a little less special now that there's 17 games. They're a little less special than they were when there were 16 games.
Okay, fine. So let's say, okay, dear NFL, dear haters, let's say they're 13-3 in a 16-game season. So what?
Still
awesome.
Absolutely. And so I'm done. There's two things I'm kind of done with. I'm done with the soft schedule talk, and I'm kind of done with the Drake May, Matthew Stafford, MVP. Whatever lane you're in, it's like Republican or Democrat, right? You're either a left or a right. You're either a liberal or a conservative. I don't care. I'm done with the arguing. They both had great years. You vote who you want to vote for. I would vote for Drake May, but I don't need to convince anybody else of that. Those 50 voters can vote however the hell they want. Drake May has had a special season. The Patriots have had a special season, and God hoping forbid they don't fall on their faces in the postseason.
Right. And as far as the MVP goes to, you know, I think at this point now, considering Drake May had a fine day, folks, in case you're wondering, statistically speaking, he was 14 of 18 for 191 yards and one touchdown. Wasn't sacked, had 41 rushing yards. No rushing touchdowns as well. So a fine game. Not
129.4 passer rating. Yeah, that's how
he
good
only
he
had to
is.
Throw 18 passes.
Now we're just yawning at 129.
Because
it would take Cam Newton two games to get 129.4 passer rating.
We're not comparing Drake May to Cam Newton at this point.
No, because there's no comparison. One is a great quarterback. One was a fullback who could run people over and just happened to take the snap every play.
We're forgetting the fact that Cam Newton had one of the best deep balls in the NFL for 5 years. We have selective memory when it comes to these things.
I disagree with that. I think he was the most overrated passer in the history of the National Football League.
That is hyperbole, and it came from your mouth, not mine.
Yep. I'm poking the bear. Poke, poke, poke. Where you at, Cam? Take your hat off and let's fight. Just kidding.
Hold on. Wait 1 second. He's the one who told you not to do that. All right, that's fine. You think you're protected in your South Coast studios? That's fine.
Can't find me.
I couldn't find you, and I've been living in this state for the better part of 50 years. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. If you would like to weigh in on the postgame show, talk about the accomplishments of the season. Talk about today, if that's what floats your particular Patriots boat. You want to get psyched for the playoffs? We are here for you until 9 o'clock. Andy on the text line, the 508 checking in on television. Tom Brady just said Stafford should win the MVP.
Bleep you, Brady.
Whoa!
Guess what? Drake May's already better than you. You see the records he's already breaking from? You see the one, Fitzy? The most games with 100-plus passer rating? Used to be Tom Brady's record. Now it's Drake May's. Get used to it, Tom. Your records are falling left and right. It just might take him 2 decades to get to
one. Oh, is that all it's going to be? Please, the recency bias is nauseating people.
That's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think?
All right, no, Tom, settle down.
I don't even know who you are. Don't care anymore.
Settle down. Go sell some air fryers.
Although I do like your new girlfriend. She's hot.
Oh, he's got a new girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. The Dancing with the Stars influencer, Alex Earl.
Oh, wow. She's gone legit. Are they bona fide? Are they public? It's legit?
I don't know. They were in St. Bart's canoodling.
Oh, God. Who doesn't want a canoodle in St. Bart's?
With her? Good Lord.
All right. I'm married. Married people, please. 617, keep that same energy, boys, if those Chargers whoop us. All right. Again, what is... Honestly,
won't.
Half of you people don't deserve
the team. Ooh, you pulled out of you people.
In the seat. Yes, I did. You know, because I don't appreciate this. We got people on the Twitch chat. Patriots are awful. Yeah, they deserve the schedule they took
How
advantage
are they awful?
Of. They took advantage. But that's literally the person's handle. They could have changed it back, but they've decided to roll with it. Good for them. It's a choice.
Jack wagon.
Anyway, we'll keep that up in a minute. Here's Drake May. All right, there you have it. Your quarterback, a likely MVP candidate. We'll see if that actually shakes out in a little while. The votes will come in tonight after the playoff game that is on Sunday Night Football, which, of course, you can catch in action once we wrap up here on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy, we're up against a commercial break. When we come back, I want to get your reaction to what Drake May had to say. I loved that answer he gave to Mike Giardi's question about how they believe things got done the way that they did this year. I also want to get back to Mike Vrabel with some of his answers, especially to Andrew Callahan. We'll get to some highlights of the day. We've got your thumbs up, thumbs down list, and, of course, the calls. Matt, Paul, Rick, don't you guys go anywhere. A couple lines open if you want to jump in. 617-779-7937. Happy to have you on the regular season finale edition of the still-titled Six Rings postgame show here live on WEEI.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
On a chilly Sunday night here in beautiful Brighton in our studios powered by Verizon, you are listening to the Six Rings postgame show on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app, and all of our fabulous affiliates. Andy, before we jump on the phones real quick, what did you think of Drake May and his final regular season sophomore sensation postgame presser?
Loved it. No surprise. I thought all his answers sounded as he has all year, not like a 23-year-old, but like the 35-year-old guy who's been saying the right things for a decade. I mean, what's your best accomplishment or whatever that question was? Really, I think it's the 14 wins, and if it's anything beyond that, it's the 8-0 record on the road. Oh, okay. I was hoping you'd say, like, the great touchdown pass you threw or something, and then top down. You know, he gets the Crafts in there and Vrabel and everybody buying in and what he's selling. He's just so freaking good. And I know
composed.
Some people probably, yeah, but it doesn't come off as, I think sometimes when young guys do stuff like that, it comes off like, oh, this guy's been well-trained. His agent and his PR guy really have like hammered it into him. When Drake does it, and maybe I'm just a suck up because we talk to him every Monday and we'll talk to him tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons, it comes off as natural. Like you read mm-hmm. these stories. Did you see that story that I don't know that I had read previously that at halftime of high school games, he would ask for the stat sheet. And at first people were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You want to like study
Ew.
Your own stats?
Yeah.
Oh no. He wanted to see which receivers didn't have catches and yards so he could make sure in the second half he got those guys catches and yards. And that's what this team is right now, right? He talked in one of those answers about how difficult they are to defend because they have so many guys making plays. And that is true mm-hmm. in a sense, but you know who that puts a lot of pressure on? Drake May. Because it's much easier mm-hmm. to drop back and be like, where's Jamar Chase? I'm going to throw to Jamar Chase because the Randy ratio. Remember when the Vikings used to have the Randy ratio? If you'd played quarterback for the Vikings, you knew you were throwing a Randy Moss 12 times every game. 12 times. You rolled out of bed and knew yeah. like 12 times today. Drake May has no idea who he's throwing to. He's throwing to, stop me if you've heard this before, Fitzy, the open guy.
His favorite receiver is his next receiver who happens
yep.
to be available to him. I will say at times it does look as though he misses Mac Hollins a little bit, but then again,
we're going to start doing that. We're going to start nitpicking. You know what he missed today?
That's called an observation. What did he miss today?
Ramondre Stevenson wide open on one where he rolled all the way to the sideline and then threw it away deep, and Ramondre was wide open with nobody around him.
Yeah.
Like 15 yards. Like, he's literally God. Right there. Just, you can't see him out of the corner of your left eye. You're Ramondre right there.
He's in his zone right now, man. I hope the whole
team. I love it.
I hope
he's
the
such
whole
a good
team
dude.
Can. He is. And also, if there's anyone, before I grab a quick call and then we got to do a top hour commercial break, but if there's anyone I'm happy, of course, Mike Vrabel, I'm happy for. Of course. Guys that have been here for a while that have known not much but losing, like Tavai and such. Barmore. He had an interesting last couple of weeks.
You hey, want to hit your wagon to that one?
Andy, I will say this. Well, I was just reaching for someone I knew played for the team. All right, Mike Onwenu. How about that? Hey, 5 days without an allegation. We're on a new winning streak,
yeah.
everybody. Congratulations.
Flip that
us.
Over.
How about
like
that, huh?
Days without an incident at work.
Yeah, seriously. Jeez. Hell of a way to bookend your 2025. I'm thrilled for all these guys, but I don't think I could be happier for anyone beyond Ramondre because, like, he lost his dad this summer. Like, he was out of touch with football. He was out of touch with himself. He had a brutal year. And then he has a case of fumbleitis to start this season, and people are blaming him, cut him, demote him, don't play him. And now, you could argue, he has been your best offensive player the final month of the season.
No question. And I would have probably benched him or cut. Like, I thought he was going down
that's
road.
That's why
where,
you don't coach NFL games.
I don't think that's the only reason, but we could find others.
It's one of several.
But I think a lot of people would have. He would have been in the Bill Belichick would have had him in the doghouse. Bill mm-hmm. Belichick had a big doghouse for running backs. It happened all the time. And you know, last year, however it was managed, oh, we're going to bench him. We didn't bench him. He's starting. This year, it was handled with such conviction. We're going to need him. We're going to need all of these guys. We're going to need Ramondre as part of this team. And it worked. That mm-hmm. support that Mike Vrabel gave him. And he's come out the other side. Now, cross your fingers because, you know, the guy has a history of fumble issues. It wasn't just this year.
Don't put it out there. Don't put it into
the
universe.
He's awesome. Well, right now he looks like Saquon Barkley, baby.
A powerful version of Saquon Barkley, no less. Let's go. Speaking of that note, let's go to our first caller here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. Matt in Rhode Island would like to speak to the very notion of Vrabel sticking with Ramondre. Zach, if you could pull up line one, please. Matt, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the Postgame Show.
Yeah, what's up, guys? No, I was saying all that stuff. Bench Ramondre, cut Ramondre. Vrabel knew just how to handle it because he is, you know, obviously in the league. He's all around, pulled all the right strings. What do you guys said? He just stays so consistent. Dealt with some stuff, obviously, this week and injuries, all that stuff's well recorded. But this is the NFL Coach of the Year, in my opinion. Now, the MVP might go both either way, but, you know, Vrabel's the Coach of the Year. And lastly, them running the ball like this going into the playoffs is a really good sign. It's the best offense in the AFC, I think, and I think they'll host the AFC Championship game. Thanks.
There we go. Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate that. Yeah, you know, Andy, between the two, if I had to flip a coin right now or rather just pick either or, I think Vrabel gets Coach of the Year. I still think Stafford probably gets the MVP.
Agreed. Unfortunately, I would vote for May because I would be consistent and say I think he's doing more with less. I don't think he has a lot of great talent around him. It's why I would have voted for Josh Allen last year.
All right. And I will read this comment from our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/BostonWEI. I'm happy to have you guys. However, we can have you on the postgame show. Gina_MA2AZ. So one might imagine that she has made the journey across the country from Massachusetts to Arizona. Hart, you wanted to trade Stevenson earlier this year. That's my comment in honor of at rather be golfing.
Excuse me, for who?
The Twitch stream.
For who?
Derrick Henry.
Thank you. No okay. further questions.
Who would you rather have right now? Either one would be fine.
Yeah, I feel like I have a good chance.
Derrick Henry
with either.
May carry the Ravens to the postseason in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't want to just dump them. It was when Derrick Henry was having his fumbling issues, and I wanted to swap them out for each other. It was sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing. But listen, most people wanted to run Ramondre out of town, and I actually think if the Patriots had had more options at running back, they might have run him out of town, but I don't think they felt like they could really do that, so they invested in him, and it has paid off.
617-779-7937, if you would like to remind Andy of the way to the postseason. They are the 2 seed in the AFC. They will be hosting the Los Angeles Chargers next weekend at Gillette. Andy, let's both take a guess as to when we – let's put our guesses for – when we think the Patriots play on the air tonight, and that way we can revisit them tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons. Do that when we come back on the other side, as well as grab your calls. More of this coming up on a Victory Edition regular season style, the finale of the Six Rings Postgame Show here on WEEI.
This is the Six Rings Postgame Show. Here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
How did this happen? How did this transformation happen so quickly?
Yeah, I think it starts from top down. I think from the crafts to them deciding to hire Coach Vrabel to you know, kind of bringing him in here and just buying into what he was, you know, coaching us hard and coaching us to believe in. And I think from there, it's, you know, us players that are, you know, got some new players in here, some new faces that I think that from the organization has really gelled well together. You know, we enjoy being around these guys. You know, I know a lot of defensive guys well and enjoy being around them. I don't think it's really any, me. I think the most me you'll saw this year is us getting some guys, some incentives out there tonight. That was probably the most. And that's just something that they've earned. And I think from there, everybody's pulls for each other. You know, we're trying to get off the sideline to pump each other up. And it's always, you know, it's never doubt and belief and what this team can do, and it works all three phases. We blow out a lot of belief in each other, and we hang out and enjoy being around each other.
The maturity and perspective of your sophomore sensation quarterback, Drake May, on display there in his response to a question from friend of WEEI Afternoons and a recent recipient of an Uncle Fitzy beer box, Andy, our pal Mike Giardi from the Boston Sports Journal. I love that answer. Again, that just speaks to
his composure and the manner in which he was raised and how he composes and conducts himself like a grown-ass man. Calls himself Grandpa with the whole idea that he goes to bed at like 8:30 at night, takes such good care of himself. He'll have time for partying and dinking around later in his life. Right now, he knows he has a job or several jobs to do, and he takes them very seriously. But to spread the wealth, to pass the praise, to just make sure that everyone else gets theirs, like you were talking about, grabbing the stat sheet in high school and in college to make sure that he found receivers that didn't get any in the first half and that he would distribute the ball to them the same way that he always throws to the open guy here. It's functional for the offense. It's a great way to play football. And that right there is leadership at a very young age on display to perfection.
And even with that, he is deferential to the leadership guidance he's gotten from Mike Vrabel. Remember when we were talking about, oh, he's telling him how to celebrate. He's telling him how what kind of emotion to bring and what he's learned from Steph Diggs. And I know Steph Diggs is also in that Barmore world of, you know, stuff going on off the field. But if you just talk about what he's been for this football team, Steph Diggs has been a key figure, obviously, on the field with 1,000 yards, first since Edelman. Mm-hmm. But also that emotional guidance and, you know, anyone that was worried that he'd be a problem for Drake May, nope, it's kind of been the exact opposite. He has been everything Drake May's needed on and off the field to help him take that huge step forward as the leader of this football team. So, you know, I don't want to do the whole, like, really, they're playing with house money now because they won 14 games and, you know, whatever. This is already a success. But
yeah, you have a huge opportunity. But the funny thing is, I know we say this a lot on the show, on the pod, et cetera. Two things can be true at once. It is sort of found money, house money, et cetera, because look at the season they've had. Look at the way they turn things around. And look at what the way that they've been able to lay groundwork and infrastructure for success for many years to come. Like, they just got Vrabel and May together with McDaniels and company. The team will not look the same next year, but I have full confidence and faith that they're going to be able to do special things together because of these guys. And yet, at the same time, it's also a case of, as you were just alluding to, holy blank, there's not another team that I think really should be favored to win the Super Bowl. Like, they can go win this ish.
Absolutely. You know, they get greedy. You know that term Alex Cora used a couple years ago? Get greedy now. Don't be like, oh, we're just the young Patriots. We're just happy to... No, your expectations should be, here's what I would be expecting if I were a Patriot right now. We're going to take care of our business, and we're going to hope somebody takes care of their business and we host the AFC title game. Somebody go into Denver, knock off the Broncos, and we're going to host the AFC title game because we're going to win our games. Chargers, come on. You get Harold Landry back, you're going to get after the quarterback a little bit. Yeah, you might have to win a shootout, but is there an offense in the AFC right now you'd pick over the Patriots to score 30 points? I would say
yes.
No. Really?
Another one I would pick to possibly score 30 points. The Jags are on a rip.
Sure.
Speaking of which, Andy,
the Patriots have been more consistent all year.
But the Jags, you're a big believer in momentum. I know Bill James says you can't quantify things like that in clutch, etc. You could fill Lake Winnipesaukee with what I don't know about that stuff. But at the same time, I happen to disagree with him. That said, Andy, on the text line, same number if you want to call in. You know the number, 617-779. A texter in the 508. I think Liam Cohen deserves Coach of the Year over Vrabel only because the Jaguars as an organization have been a dumpster fire for years. The Patriots were only a dumpster fire for like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. He was my prediction preseason was Liam Cohen. I thought he had a shot to be coach of the year because the bad division. Yeah, because of the bad division. And I thought if he kind of aligned with Trevor Lawrence, that would give them the opportunity. He's a candidate. He's certainly a candidate, but I disagree. The Patriots should have picked number one overall last year, right? The Patriots should have picked you know, we keep saying they went from 4 wins to 14. They really went from 3 wins to 14. The Gerard Mayo effed up and the Bills, that whole thing. You were a 3-win team that should have picked number one overall. Now you're the number 2 seed in the AFC and a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I'm sorry. That's a coach of the year.
The same way that I say the Patriots didn't just turn the ball over 5 times. They turned it over 6 times in that game to the Steelers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because one was on down. So technically, tis a turnover. Right. They really should have been 3-14. So, yes, they orchestrated the inverse of last year's toilet fire of a season with a spectacular 3-14, basically to 14-3.
And unreal. Liam Cohen took over a team with a generational talent at quarterback who's making $250 million over the next 5 years. And is
which in Jacksonville is like $500 million.
Correct. And is established. Mike Vrabel took over a team with a quarterback who everybody said, how come he doesn't win and how come he always turns the ball over with the game on
the line? He overthrows the ball. He's got hot feet. He's got to take it easy. Where's the? He's got a hitch in his throwing motion. There's no pro talent at wide receiver.
Offensive line, we're gonna turn it. We're gonna have four new starters on the offensive line. Oh, and by the way, in the front office, I'm bringing in my guy, but they forced me to keep this other guy. So this could be an absolute crap show behind the scenes. Oh, they also forced me to take the offensive coordinator I may or may not have wanted. The job that Mike Vrabel has done, pulling this all together, lacing it up, and tying a nice bow on top, this has been a tremendous performance.
Back to the phones we go. Let's check in to the 401 down in Providence. Paul's on the Six Rings postgame show. Line two, Zach, if you wouldn't mind, please. Paul, what's up, my guy?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I just want to talk about the MVP race with Drake. I think a lot of it comes down to be like political. Even when Tom Brady said it, you know, he said Drake Mays gonna have plenty of years to win it. But, like, it shouldn't come down to that. I mean, Drake Mays is clearly MVP. Staff is not even the best person on his team this year. And when you look at Drake May, the last couple of weeks, he's probably sat out almost the whole game, okay? And he still has better numbers than Stafford, and he's definitely the most valuable player on his team. I just think that, like, the MVP shouldn't come down to, like, a political race and judge him by, like, because he's got plenty more years to win it, my opinion.
All righty. Thanks very much for the call, Paul. Appreciate that. I mean, guys like, I mean, Apuka, can you imagine? I know we're not going to play the, but if I had this guy or whatever, but we are apt to point out they had Kyron Williams, you had Devontae Adams, who was awesome before he got hurt, and Puka Nacua. Can you imagine what Drake May would be doing if he had a Puka Nacua on his team?
I mean, he probably would be doing exactly what he is doing, winning a lot of football games and making good plays and things of that nature. But no, that's part of my argument. There's two receivers on that team that are better than any receiver on your team. Like, Devontae Adams is a better version of Steph Diggs. He's an aging number one wide receiver who wasn't coming off a torn ACL. And Puka Nacua is a budding offensive player of the year type wide receiver.
Might be the he deserves consideration with Jefferson, Jamar Chase, now Jackson Smith and Jigba, JSN, yep. Makes it easier to not butcher that name. And, of course, Puka Nacua as best receiver in the NFL.
Correct. And Drake May has done a really nice job with a guy that most of us thought wouldn't even be ready till midseason in Steph Diggs. And he's elevated everyone else around him. And that also, I think the Rams have a better defense. I think, that's part of the – when people get into that whole, like
yeah, – Jared Verse generates a real pass rush on his own.
They've won six games against playoff teams. Well, you know they're a really good team, right? Like, with a good coach, a good defense, a good offense, good players on offense, good players on deep. Like, it's not just Matthew Stafford that has won those football games. They're right. A really good football team who happens to be going on the road in the playoffs because it's a really good football team that hasn't really played good football down the stretch of this season.
Let's check in with somebody who I believe is on their way home from the stadium. Craig is in the car, line three, Zach, if you wouldn't mind. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the postgame show.
Andy, Fitzy, how we doing, boys?
Sound fantastic, buddy. Your car has an echo like you're in a kitchen.
I am in the kitchen. I'm back. I'm back from the game. Hell of a game. I'm the perennial pessimist. But let me tell you, there's a lot to be optimistic about, and we're trending in the right direction. We're getting healthy. The offensive line has looked incredible. I mean, that was the story last year. And, you know, frankly, in the offseason, I didn't think we did enough, but we certainly did. Will Campbell was the pick. That's pretty clear. We got a two-headed running back monster show right now. I mean, Ramondre, the hands on him, running the wheel routes. I mean, if you look back at that Miami game, that kind of changed the season when he made that fingertip catch. It was a great throw, but it was a tough catch. And that, to me, was like a turning point. They won that game. The momentum kicked into gear, and Ramondre and Henderson together looked fantastic. And let me tell you, that's all going to lead to a traditional Patriots beatdown, playoff dynasty type win. It's a win I need. It's a win I want. It's a win I think we're going to get. The Chargers are West Coast team, folding into the playoffs, and we're going to come in here. They're going to come in here, and we're going to win big. Excited about it. Excited to call you guys. Can't wait to call back next week.
All right. Well, you make sure you call back in next week, whether you're in a car, a kitchen, or wherever you can reach that phone, Craig. Thanks very much, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you then. I think next week is going to be tough. We'll get it. We have obviously all week to unpack and analyze said matchup, Andy. I think it's going to be tougher than people are going to give it credit for. I think people are just going to look at the finale and the fact that the Chargers shot themselves in the foot by via the junk, and they, you know, spit the bit against the Texans. Then they just decided to punt en masse against the Broncos, and they've been injured and blah, blah, blah. That's Jim Harbaugh. I'm not ever just outright picking a romp against Jim Harbaugh, even if last year the Texans curb stomped the Chargers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be one of those that doesn't take the Chargers seriously enough. And there's certainly some areas of concern, even in this game, from the Patriots. Now, we'll see what the lineup looks like next week. You know, you were still down a starter on the offensive line. Jared Wilson's out. Ben Brown was in. You were still down Tonga in terms of your run defense. Robert Spillane up front. So what is this defense going to look like? But I will say this. Worst case scenario for me is you get in a shootout. And I'll take my chances in a shootout. I will absolutely take my chances in a shootout with Justin Herbert and Drake May. You know, we've talked about Drake May and Josh Allen and, like, that little rivalry that's brewing. This could be a fun one. This is another guy that Drake May was compared to coming out of college, and this could be a fun one. You got Justin Herbert is, what, year five this year? So this could be two contemporaries starting a little tete-a-tete West Coast, East Coast rivalry that would be kind of fun in the postseason.
Yeah, I was a believer in the Chargers. I did pick them to win the AFC West. Spoiler alert, that didn't happen.
So you were wrong.
I was.
Like Taylor Kyles when he picked the Patriots to win 13 games. He was
right.
Kyles.
Let's make it about him. How dare Kyles be such a buffoon as
what
to pick.
Negative boob.
I know. We have to have him on the afternoon show this week. Just, you know.
Brian Hoyer, 8 to 11 wins. That was dumb, too. It was 14.
By the way, Hoyer is a great chat every Tuesday. Why does he get the sliding scale? Like, I mean, 8 to 11. You got to pick a number. I had 10. I walked it back to 8. Walk of shame. Throw your veggies and your cans at me. That's fine. Would you have him at 6 or 7?
I
know
seven.
An audience
nope,
that was not a 6-7.
Don't do that. Stop it, you old coot.
It was double that. If you said 7, they literally doubled your prediction.
Yep. Oh, I was the wrongest. No, I wasn't the wrongest. There were other people. Our producer, we had a producer, it might rhyme with Stiz, who I think he thought they were going to win 4 or 5 games.
Wait, Stiz rhymes with, okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I think he did. Stiz. But that was also fealty to Belichick at the time. He didn't want to go against his guy. I don't even think, did Belichick win 4 games?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but it was against like Dayton, Middlebury.
Oh, yeah, not a lot.
Southwest Ohio State.
Yeah, not a lot of high-end talent games.
Back to the phones we go. Uh-oh, look who it is. We'll wrap up this segment of the Six Rings Postgame Show before producer Zach Coe catches you up on everything trending in the wild world of sports. Here he is from the future. We always take his call whenever he's there because he is halfway around our world. Jake in Australia. What'd you think, Jake?
What a season. That was not expected, to say the least, but I have to give credit to Taylor Kyle. He had 13 wins predicted, and here we are at 14.
So he was wrong, just like the rest of us.
A good sort of wrong there, though.
You know old Andy, misery loves company. Jake, what was your, of all the highlights of all the elements of the turnaround, of all the positives engineered and generated by this Patriots team, what was your most favorite thing about their turnaround season and the 14 wins?
To see the rookies come through and produce as well as they did. We had so many years where we've had all these expectations for a great amount of rookies and have done absolutely nothing. Where this year, new coaches, new rookies, and my God, they have
the leave. So that's a good answer.
Yeah. I was not expecting to say the rookies, because you could have said the draft class. I think a lot of people, Jake, would immediately just say Drake May. It's so great to see them take the talent that was on display in college in last year and find a way to mold it and funnel it and target it into something very special. But yeah, they had a great rookie class and their free agent class. I mean, you could argue, Andy, Jake, at all, that they really didn't whiff on a single signee or pick.
Yeah. No.
Who did they whiff on, Andy? Who did they whiff?
Now I'm trying to think of a whiff. There really wasn't a whiff. I mean, we thought early on Borogalis, but Borogalis has been tremendous after right. those first couple missed PATs. We thought for a while there, Travion Henderson, right? Everybody had such high hopes coming into the season, and he was such a slow starter, and then boy, did he take off over the second half. Kyle Williams, like for a little bit there, he looked like a whiff, but obviously he's found ways to contribute. Craig Woodson has been out there all year long. We all bitched and moaned that they got rid of Duggar and Peppers, and Craig Woodson and Hawkins have been out there all year long. So they've been really, really good with every move they made, basically.
Holding on to and starting Jalen Ball Hawkins. All solid moves. They've made all the right moves. Jake, I'm so glad that you hung in there with him. Thanks for calling. From tomorrow, as soon as we know when the game's going to be, it'll probably be announced right after Sunday Night Football. We will look forward to hearing from you next week as well. But thanks for being a regular contributor to the Six Rings postgame show all regular season long. We'll talk to you in the postseason, my guy.
Let's
effing
go.
All right, Jake from Australia here.
What did he say?
Let's effing go. Oh, okay.
You know what I just realized? Jake the Snake.
Kinda oh, he had the snake the in time. The yard. That's his. Yeah. We should call him that. Okay.
Jake the Snake.
Very good. All right. Kelly, Sean. Who else is on hold? There's a whole bunch of you. We'll get to you guys on the other side when we get a chance. 617-779-7937. But first, it is our duty and obligation to catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of sports, Boston, the NFL, and beyond. Here's producer Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots pounded the Dolphins 38-10 to finish the regular season 14-3. Drake May made one final statement for MVP. He went 14 for 18 for 191 yards and one touchdown. But it was Ramondre Stevenson who was the star of the show this afternoon. He rushed for 131 yards and two touchdowns on just seven carries. Thanks to the Broncos' win over the Chargers, the Pats secured the number 2 seed in the AFC. They'll host the Chargers next weekend at a date and time yet to be announced. Elsewhere around the NFL, the Falcons beat the Saints 19-17, which means the Carolina Panthers are your NFC South champions. The Bears fell to the Lions 19-16, but thanks to the Commanders' 24-17 win over the Eagles, Chicago will be the NFC's 2 seed, while Philly claims the 3 seed. Tonight, the Steelers and Ravens face off in Pittsburgh in a de facto playoff game. Winner gets the NFC North title. Kickoff just happened. Ravens currently have the ball. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that one right here on WEEI. Following Six Rings, we'll join In Progress at 9 o'clock. Bruins beat the Canucks in Vancouver last night 3-2. Frazier Minton potted the game winner in overtime, his second of the night. They'll wrap up a 5-game road trip Tuesday in Seattle, taking on the Kraken. Finally, the Celtics beat the Clippers 146-115 in LA last night, thanks to a 50-burger from Jaylen Brown. Brown added 5 assists and 3 rebounds in addition to the 50 points. They'll return home tomorrow night hosting the Bulls. Tip off from the Garden at 7:30. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Six Rings coming up right after this.
The Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
It's very promising for the future of the league. Stevenson again! Ramondre Stevenson has his third touchdown of the game! Bursting through for 35.
You know what? I might have to spring for a couple of jerseys for the kids for the playoffs this week. Now, I know Drake May jerseys are difficult to come by in any shape, form, color, size, etc. However, my peanut of an 8-year-old in a Ramondre Stevenson jersey would kind of be a thing. I think
I love Mondre. That's a good jersey, but give up on the Drake May idea. That's next
everyone
year.
Everyone also has one. Yeah. I will say, Andy, not having been to Foxborough in a little while and getting a chance to waltz about today and talk to the fantastic Foxborough Fanimals, several of which gave me gloriously golden audio that we'll be sharing with everybody tomorrow on the afternoon show. It was fun to finally see actual Drake May jerseys, as opposed to everybody walking around with their Jimmy Garoppolo's or their Mac Jones jerseys with May taped over in like electrical tape or white painter's tape or what have you. Like, the takeover is so complete. Storm blues, the reds, the whites, the navy, the color rush, etc. Like, it felt, I will say it definitely feels like it, the pivot from this is Gronk and Brady's house to like, no, this is a whole new Foxborough. Now it really feels it's not complete, but it's happened. It felt like it was different there. And by the way, the energy, the air, so much lighter. It was just so damn nice to be walking around people, I don't know, smiling, celebrating, being optimistic, and dare I say, looking forward to the game as opposed to, well, what am I going to do? I can't sell my season tickets, and I'm not giving them up. They've been in my family for 37 years, so I guess I got to go.
Yeah, they're close. They're right on that. They're not quite there. I've seen a lot of fans actually on social media saying that's another reason to be excited is this should be a better team next year. They have all the assets and opportunities to improve on this football team next year with Vrabel, Cowden, Elliott Wolf, whoever's making the decisions. You should be better. You should have a better offensive line. You should have better receivers. You should have better defense next year. But, yeah, right now, this is fun. But I will go back to the biggest reason this is fun is the quarterback. And you mentioned all the Drake May jerseys, which, funny how that works. They're all sold out online, and you go to a game, and the stands are filled with Drake May jerseys. It's almost like everybody in the stands bought the Drake May jerseys that no one else can now buy online. And Ann Michael was on the sideline. You see that little power couple embrace on the sideline before the game?
Yeah, I did, actually. There were a couple of fans that saw her on the way into the stadium, and
she was gracious
enough to stop and take photos with them.
Well, because she's a real human being. We haven't had a real human being star QB wife in 25 years.
Since Maura Bledsoe.
Maura Bledsoe was the real deal, very similar. Sweethearts from way back that got married to the star quarterback.
Hold on. Sophie Scott, well, she's not a wife, so Sophie Scott was a lovely lady, right?
I don't know. All right, she seemed like she was more into the whole bedazzled influencer outfit thing, whereas Ann Michael seems like she just kind of wants to bake and be, and this is not me saying it because that would be awkward for me to say it, but the word I hear about her from everyone, men, women, old, young, is cute. Oh, she's so cute. I love her so much. She's so cute.
Totes adorbs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she has.
Can't believe I said that on sports radio.
Yeah, I can't believe you did either, but it's late on a Sunday, so hopefully no one heard.
I'm punch drunk. I've been up since 5:30. All right, back to the phones, Andy. Here's one of our favorites all the way out in Western Mass. He bleeds green for his Celtics, but he does love him some Patriots, too. Kelly's in Amherst. Kelly, what's up, my guy?
Guys, what's going on? No, my blood is pouring out and it is all blue right now. It's a serious medical problem. There's no green whatsoever, although the 50 burger last night was nice. A couple things I want to mention. You mentioned Alex Cora with the be greedy. I feel exactly the same way. What he used to say is bad takes. We talk about good takes. Sometimes there's bad takes. And to say this team, oh, it's so cool. We'll be good next year. We'll be good in 3 years. That's not how the NFL works. They got to strike while the iron is hot. Also, you mentioned filling Lake Winnipesaukee. That is over 200 feet deep at some points. Just a heads up. So don't get too excited about doing that. And my final thought is this. Hunter Henry is the Al Horford of these New England Patriots, because back when they were ass, he was the only good guy on the team. He was consistent. He has been every quarterback safety blanket other than Jacoby Myers. I love Hunter Henry. It's not just recency bias because he had a big game in this somewhat meaningless Week 17. I just want to say right now, Hunter Henry is my Patriots MVP. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Kelly. This does bring up an interesting point, Andy. Maybe we could bat this around this week as well. But first impression for unsung hero / MVP of the Patriots, not Drake May edition. I might go Marcus Jones on defense because I think, honestly, he was the best defensive player for the Patriots this season. I'm going to go Ramondre, but Kelly from Amherst loves the dependability, the consistency. Like, you know what you're getting each and every week with Hunter Henry, a beloved target of Drake May.
There's a lot of options to turn to. I'll tell you who one could be a sneaky candidate, and he flashed early in this game when they chose not to block him for some reason, but Milton Williams. I'm interested to see what the defense is with Milton Williams back to full speed, because there's no doubt if you did the true value test based on take the guy off the team and what happens. Well, the run defense falls apart if you take Milton Williams off the Patriots defense. We learned that, so Milton Williams might get some consideration for MVP, but there's so many of them. There's so many, it's such a dramatic fall off, because even like Gonzo is a ways down for me. A sneaky one I would put, unsung hero. If you change it to unsung hero, a sneaky one I would put is Craig Woodson, because I think Craig, I don't think people understand to just step right in and play safety in a situation where people were bitching about the guys you got rid of because they're good football players, and just kind of quietly go about your business on a team that wins 14 games. Like, safety is a position where if you don't play well, you can expose the whole defense, yourself, the whole team. Like, everything can fall apart. And so the way Craig Woodson has just kind of come in and gone about his business kind of flying beneath the radar, I think he's kind of an unsung hero.
Zach, I missed the total inactives list before the game. Could you run that down for me again real quick?
Harold Landry.
Yep.
Robert Spillane.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Caden Wallace. Kyrese Tonga.
All right, so there's a lot of thank you. There was a lot of starting caliber talent that was not involved in this football game today.
Oh, both sides, yes.
Yeah, if they could actually get the bulk or majority of that back next week, it's going to make a big difference. Who do you think on that list, Andy, is the most important to make a return? Would you say Tonga or Spillane?
I think I would say Spillane, because after that slow start to the season, he's your leading tackler. He was making plays. He was kind of flying around the field. I don't know. It happened so when he was there, too, but like maybe, what was it, 3rd and 17, and they gave up that completion, the first
to,
down.
To Dulcich, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that doesn't happen if Robert Spillane is on the field. So I think your middle linebacker is a real, like, no disrespect to Dr. Gibby. I think he's a good player
good football player.
He's a good backup. I think the more you play him, the more you realize, oh, he's a good backup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things like, you go back.
He's no
a backup.
Chad Muma, but.
Yeah, he's better than Muma. Mm-hmm. Muma. But yeah, I think Robert Spillane would be the guy that I would most want to see there. And I thought Will Campbell getting out there today was huge.
Knock that rust off. Yep. A little repage for Milton Williams and Will Campbell will go a long way since seeing as they didn't get hurt. That's going to be huge for them next week. Back to the phones. Sean is in the car, perhaps on his way home from the game today. Line 3, Zach, if you don't mind. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So I was listening on the way home, and I heard the previous caller mention Liam Cohen as Coach of the Year, and it kind of got me thinking about him versus Vrabel for Coach of the Year. I think that's probably a coin flip because both of them had the same records last year, both teams did. But as far as MVP, I would say probably Drake May. But I think Trevor Lawrence deserves to be in that consideration too, more than Matt Stafford, because Jaguars and Patriots both won 4 games last year. Both were in contention for the number one seed this year. I would say Drake May over Lawrence just because the Patriots won one more game. And I know comeback player of the year is usually for like injured players, but Trevor Lawrence was god awful last year. If he doesn't win MVP, he should be considered for comeback player of the year, too.
Hey, appreciate the call, Sean. Look, Andy, basically both the Patriots and the Jags had pickle pizza parties for final games this year. The Jaguars got to play the Tennessee Titans, not much of a football team right there. And, of course, the Patriots had the shell of the Miami Dolphins, although there were times Mike McDaniel called some nice plays, and they put a little effort into the game. I won't say that either quarterback or team showing up or showing out on offense today made that much of a difference, but Trevor Lawrence's final numbers, pretty impressive. 4,007 yards, 29 tutty passes, 12 interceptions on the season. I don't have his rushing yards right now in front of me as well, but that's a hell of a turnaround that Liam Cohen was able to orchestrate. But also, Liam Cohen was very instrumental as well in the turnaround and development of Baker Mayfield. So obviously our guy from New England, who now coaches in Duval, did a bang up job. That's why he deserves to be in the running for Coach of the Year. But I wouldn't put Trevor Lawrence at MVP.
No, I would not either. And I wouldn't give him the comeback player of the year because I'm an advocate for for injuries. Aiden Hutchinson broke his leg. He's got like a steel rod in his leg, and he came back to be a dominant defensive player. A guy like Aiden Hutchinson, somebody who comes back from a serious injury to play at a really high level, is what the comeback player of the year award is about for me. But no, you know what I think the big takeaway from this all is? Like the ownership level takeaway is, I think you're going to have a lot of guys, and not that they haven't been trying to do this for years, but a lot of guys that look around and go, huh, so you got Liam Cohen made Trevor Lawrence look like what he's supposed to look like. You got Josh McDaniels that took Drake May from questionable to elite overnight. You got Ben Johnson who took Caleb Williams and went from worst to first. Like, The marriage between the offensive mind play caller and the young quarterback is becoming one of the most important duos combinations in all of sports. And I think owners are going to feast on that idea.
Last call before we catch a break, come back, and then take a quick look at the playoffs next weekend, as well as take our guesses for when we believe the Patriots and Chargers will play. And, of course, thumbs up, thumbs down, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Jeff is in New Hampshire. Jeff, what part of New Hampshire, Jeff?
I am way up here in Sutton, up on 89.
Oh, wow, very nice. I was just spent a couple of days up in Lincoln. Good country, loved it.
Yeah, it's nice up here. Hey, I just wanted to touch base on, appreciate you guys very much and all your professionalism. Just wanted to touch about realistic expectations for the Patriots. I've been watching them over 50 years. You know, they've gone well beyond expectations this year. Let's face it. Everybody's, you know, this is fantastic what's going on and for the future, the immediate future. But, you know, everybody talked about the weak schedule that they had. You know, it's been on national TV and everything. Everybody's been talking about it. And, you know, what our expectations are for this team. I hope they go really far and maybe potentially they could, who knows, make the Super Bowl, depending on many variables, a lot of teams that are going to be eliminated in many of the rounds. You know, the sky's the limit, potentially. But they need to, you know, they lost to Buffalo. They had a 21-point lead at home and they lost that game. Mm-hmm. I know consistency is a very, very important aspect of teams that go far. I know injuries, we can talk about many, many different variables, but they, you know, they're going to have to prove, you know, they haven't played a lot of teams that are over 500. Tampa Bay, they beat earlier this year. They beat Buffalo in Buffalo. That was very impressive. But I just wanted your thoughts about the potentially, you know, not to dismean them in any way, but the easy schedule that they have, and they really need to probably prove themselves in some of these really, really good teams to go far in the playoffs.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Jeff. I'm not concerned with the caliber of the teams that they played, the caliber of the teams that they beat. I know everyone wants to point to schedule, easy schedule in 30 years. They're just a product of it. The team's not that good. They beat just about everybody they could. Common opponents that they played with the Rams, they were 6-0 against. They beat good teams when it mattered. They lost once to Josh Allen when he put on the super suit, and the Patriots misfired. They came back against the Ravens. The Ravens right now up 7-0. Looks like they could very well be a playoff team, AFC North champs. Do you care anymore, Andy, about the schedule fool's gold commentary?
Nope. The first team I will quote-unquote fear will be in the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. If they play the Rams or they play the Seahawks or some of those teams that have good defenses, good offenses, number one receivers, different things like that, I think that could be challenging. But every team in the American Football Conference, the one they actually have to play in, the potential opponents, I'm fine with playing all of them because I've watched enough of them now. I've watched enough of all those teams. The warts are real on every one of those teams.
Every single one of those teams. There's hot teams right now. There's cold teams right now. There's in-between teams right now. But there's every likelihood right now, Andy, that you could put every team from the AFC, every team from the NFC in two different bingo balls, spin it around, pick one at random from each, and that could well be your Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, and you could end up with a bad Super Bowl. I said this months ago. You know, the Carolinas and the Jacksonville's of the world. Sorry.
Carolina's not making it.
You never know. You just never know. And, you know, Sam Darnold, sorry. I don't know how excited. He's only the second quarterback in the history of the world to have back-to-back 14-win seasons. I don't think anybody wants to see Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl. So
I do not.
Trevor Lawrence versus Sam Darnold? Cool. Awesome. New. Good, you know, parody. Oh, I don't know that anybody be excited. So it's going to be a really interesting postseason. And interesting doesn't always mean great. And it doesn't mean this measures up to some of the old days of where it's Mahomes and Allen and Burrow or Manning and Brady and Roethlisberger. But guess what? They're going to give out a ring at the end of this, and I think the Patriots have as good a chance as anybody in the AFC of getting that ring.
And it'll count just as much, or so we're told, as everyone else's previously.
And actually,
and
more,
because
they get bigger and more valuable every year they give them out. So
just
it'll
like
actually
cell
be
phones,
better.
I wish they would downsize the damn things, for God's sakes. They don't need a
easy
ring.
Gramps.
Ring the
make
size
another
of a
six,
fist.
Seven joke.
Ah, shut up. All right, 617-77. Just go tighten up your little thumbs up, thumbs down thing on the other side, because we only have a couple minutes left on the postgame show. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Cars for Kids. Thumbs up, thumbs down from Andy Hart. It's all available here on the postgame show, sponsored by our friends at McFarland Energy. We'll take a quick look at the Patriots possibility, the playoff win, whatever. Just go to commercial. We'll be back in a few.
This is the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
All right, just a couple minutes left here before we throw to coverage of Sunday Night Football. The Ravens are up 7-0 over the Steelers right now with just a couple minutes left in the first. Time now for Andy Hart's world-famous, often imitated, never-to-be-duplicated Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, sponsored by our friends at Cars for Kids. Hey, Cars for Kids remind you, there's plenty of time to get your car donated for 2026. Happy New Year, everybody. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS now. That is 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Cars with a K. Andy, take it away.
Let's rapid fire this. The running backs, Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson, combined for 5 touchdowns. Stevenson, as we talked about, might be the best player on this football team over the last 3 weeks or so. Josh McDaniels, he might need a nickname, one of those in quotation marks. Josh, in his bag, McDaniels, because he continues to draw things up, having fun. That flea flicker they ran with Travion Henderson.
Oh, to Chisholm. Jump step. Oh, be still my heart. We could call him Josh Drake May McDaniels.
We could go with that as well, but I really think what he has been able to do this year is remarkable. Today was another good performance. We mentioned it, a little touched on it, the Milt Williams, Will Campbell, getting them back out there. I thought just their existence on the field heading into a postseason game, knocking the rust off, was good. Anfernee Jennings, I don't know if you paid attention, sneaky active game. Mm-hmm. Harold Landry still out. I thought Jennings was really active in the run game, in the backfield a little bit, played with a little sand in his pants, as they like to say. Hawkins and Gibbons, a couple guys got their hands on footballs. One caught it, one didn't, but the turnovers. Diggs getting over 1,000 yards. I thought that sort of a, we talk about lifetime achievement award for Matthew Stafford, season achievement award here for Stephon Diggs getting the up. Only had 3 catches for 43 yards or whatever, but got over 1,000 yards. I thought that was impressive. Let's go quickly to the downside of things. Not a lot here. Except for the whole defense. I need you to be better. I need you to be better against a... It was Quinn Ewers and I don't even know all the wide receivers and practice squad guys
Jaylen
that were out
Wright,
there.
Jaylen Wright, Malik Washington.
They're moving up and down the frickin' field early in the game. Didn't like to see that. One name I'm going to pull out, Carlton Davis. Pass interference, got toasted for a slant, toasted for an early catch. Carlton Davis just isn't that good. I'm sorry. We were 17 games into it. Carlton Davis, not that good. And field goal block, we heard Mike Vrabel bitching about it in his post-game press conference. They've gotten a little leaky there in the field goal protection. So that's about it for the downside.
All right. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thanks very much, Andy. This has all been part of the Six Rings post-game show brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. Find out more at McFarlandEnergy.com. We will be back tomorrow with WEEI Afternoons. Marcus Jones, Drake May, live on the show with your old pals Fitzy and Hart. Andy, real quick, before we go, I promised it. What's your prediction for Chargers-Patriots next weekend?
I'm going to say Sunday, 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I'll go Sunday at 1.
Yeah, I do think it'll be Sunday because you're making the Chargers come across the country there. I think that's only fair to them. Maybe Sunday at 1. One of the earlier games on Sunday, yes.
Yeah, as far as the other games, Jags-Bills, AFC North winner against the Texans. I like that. Jags-Bills could be the highlight of the weekend for me. All right, we'll continue this discussion more. You'll find out about all those games tonight at the end of Sunday Night Football. Thanks for listening, everybody. This wraps the regular season edition of the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI. Give them a follow at Jumbo Hart. I'm at Fitzy GFY. Great work, as always, by producer Zach Coe. We'll talk to you tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons as part of a Patriots Monday. Enjoy the remainder of Sunday Night Football, everyone.